This is Lake Effect for Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North, and thanks so much for tuning in today. Earlier this week, the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court upheld the U.S. government's program that allows it to collect all the telephone records it desires from American phone companies. The government says such measures are needed to detect the activities of known and suspected terrorists. But civil libertarians question the broad nature of the action. The balance between individual privacy and the government's responsibility to protect its citizens is at the forefront of discussion in the news and even in the arts. Later in the program, we'll learn about a play opening tonight in Milwaukee that taps into issues just like these. But first, we're joined on the phone by Alex Abdo, staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union National Security Project. Alex, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Bonnie.
Is national security less important than our right to privacy?
No, I don't think so, but I don't think the two are in conflict. I think our framers of the Constitution recognized that our rights give strength to the nation, and they allow for an adequate defense of the nation. Where we went wrong in the years after 9/11 was to buy into the false dichotomy between the two and to try to sacrifice liberty in service of national security. I think many people in the country have recognized the flaw in that approach in the years after 9/11, and we're starting to see a return to our constitutional principles and our American values.
Do you think there's a threshold, at least in your opinion, when national security does trump privacy, individual privacy?
I don't think there is. You know, the Constitution allows the government to intrude upon individuals' privacy when it has adequate cause. When the government suspects that you are a terrorist, it absolutely should be surveilling you. It should be listening to your phone calls and reading your emails to the extent a court allows it to discover what your plans are, whether there are plots to thwart. What the government shouldn't be doing, however, is engaging in indiscriminate surveillance of Americans that's not tied to particular investigations that the government is allowed to conduct. That type of dragnet surveillance is not only unnecessary, it's unconstitutional.
So is that a key argument that you have against the decision this week by the surveillance court regarding the phone records?
That is a key argument. The NSA for the past 7 years has been engaging in a form of dragnet surveillance that has never before been seen in our country, and to my knowledge anyway, has never before been instituted by a constitutional democracy. We really are in a new era where the NSA is trying to exploit the fact that so much of our lives today are digitized. Every time we engage in a financial transaction or send a message to a friend or call a hospital or a pastor or a shelter for victims of violence, we leave a digital trail. And the NSA, to the NSA and to other intelligence agencies, that digital trail is virtually irresistible, which is why it's so important that we put in place strong protections between our sensitive information and the government. And the Constitution has given us a roadmap to what those protections entail. And they entail requiring the government to go to a court before it wants to spy on Americans and to justify its case. The Constitution doesn't allow the government to acquire everything in the first instance so that it has it in the future in case it one day becomes relevant.
So this decision by the court is a step backward, in your opinion?
It is a step backward. The secret court in Washington, D.C., known as the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, has for the last 7 years allowed the NSA to keep a record of every single phone call made by every American every day. That type of database, the court found, was necessary for the government to do the types of surveillance it wanted to do, and we profoundly disagree with that assessment. For the government to conduct legitimate surveillance and investigation of suspected terrorists, the government can use its enormous tools in a targeted fashion. There's simply no need, for example, for the NSA to have a record of this phone call right now, or the phone call I'll make in a few minutes, or the phone calls that you've made today. Those records are not relevant to anything the NSA is doing, and they shouldn't be stored for years in an NSA database somewhere deep within the recesses of the government.
People do bring up the argument, though, that we often hear it, that if you're not up to anything wrong, like you and I are simply having a conversation, what difference does it make if the government knows about this?
That argument has been bandied about, for quite some time, for the past few years anyway, the argument that if you have nothing to hide, why do you fear government surveillance? And I think that argument really underappreciates the value of privacy in our society to a dignified life. I think, in the first instance, I don't know that I believe everyone who tells me that they have nothing to hide. It's true that we all engage in conduct that everyone else knows about in a general sense. Everyone knows that I take a shower every day, and I there are certain things about my life that are very public. That doesn't mean that everyone would want to share detailed conversations about those intimate affairs. But even to the extent that people are comfortable sharing some information with the government to ensure security, it's worth remembering that the constitutional protections that we so enjoy today are not primarily meant to protect those in the majority. It turns out that in a democracy with majoritarian rule, the majorities enjoy the protection of being in the majority. And that, for example, when those who don't have a political constituency want to engage in dissenting free speech, when they want to criticize the government or express unpopular thoughts, that's when our constitutional principles are most tested. And I think a very similar principle applies in the context of our privacy. It may be true that those in the majority are generally comfortable with what their majoritarian government wants to extract from them when it comes to their private information. But there's an important line between the right to privacy of some and the right to privacy of all. And we have to guard that line jealously if we're to stay a country of laws and a country committed to the values that were embodied in the Constitution.
Well, what's your take, then, on the public reaction to the Edward Snowden case and what it revealed about all of this data collection that probably most of us didn't know about?
I think the public has shifted its opinion dramatically since the disclosures. Before those disclosures, people, I think, by and large, viewed the possibility that the government was engaging in this extraordinary surveillance as very far-fetched. And, in fact, the government repeatedly said, for example, when we were challenging some of these programs, before we knew exactly what they were, the government said it's all speculation to think that the government is engaging in this form of dragnet surveillance. And government officials repeatedly misled even Congress when they described these opinions in hearings in Congress. Now that the public knows, the public is reacting, and the public is angry, and rightfully so. There was a vote in the House of Representatives not too long ago where the House nearly defunded the NSA's program in which it collects our phone records. And that was an extraordinary testament to how quickly public opinion has shifted. I don't think that vote will be the last one, and I don't think the debate is anywhere near over. And already we're seeing more calls for reform.
Well, to the ACLU, is there any appreciable difference between the government collecting this data and, say, Google or Amazon or another corporation collecting it for marketing purposes?
There absolutely is a difference. Google can't throw you in jail. Google can't investigate you in the way that the government can investigate you. And at the end of the day, the Constitution imposes real limits on the government's authority to amass this information. It's one thing for a private citizen to contract with Google to receive, in my view, a great email service in exchange for a modicum of privacy. That's a bargain that each individual is entitled to make on their own. But when we engage in that bargain, we don't agree to sign ourselves up for pervasive surveillance by the government. Now, I should say, I think people are now beginning to appreciate how significant an amount of information is being collected by private corporations every single day about us, and people are starting to question the terms of their consent to turn over this information through their use of some of these services. And that conversation should continue. I think it's a separate conversation, though, than the one about what we expect the NSA to be collecting on us without our consent and without any particular need for the information.
Well, in a perfect world, what do you and the ACLU believe the perfect balance to be between individual liberties and rights and the right to be protected by your government?
I may be old-fashioned, but I think the balance is the one that the Constitution struck some time ago, which is that when the government wants to target someone for an investigation, it is absolutely permitted to do so if it can demonstrate adequate cause. It should go to a court if it wants to spy on Americans, and it should justify its case. If there is an emergency that prevents it from going to a court, there are a number of exceptions that allow it to do so that account for those emergencies. But the Constitution has been dealing with these cases, cases in which the government has a need to surveil some of the most notorious criminals in our history. It's been dealing with these cases for hundreds of years, and it's up to the task today, and we should rely on it in the way that we have in the past.
Well, how do we get back to that then? It seems, I mean, you were talking earlier that, you know, we seem to have moved way past that, and now it's time to rein things in.
It is time to rein things in, and I think there are a couple of ways to do it. The first is that we need all the information necessary to have this debate. We have some of the information now, thanks in large part to leaks by Edward Snowden, but the government continues to withhold information that's critical to the debate that the government now says it welcomes. So we need a release of that information to allow a fully informed debate. And we're not asking for the government to disclose sensitive sources or methods or to reveal all of its secrets, but we're asking for the government to reveal what it thinks the law allows, so we can have a debate about whether the law needs to be changed or whether it strikes the appropriate balance. I think that's the first step. We're hoping also to put an end to at least one of these programs through a lawsuit that we filed a few days after the disclosures. And our lawsuit challenges the NSA's collection of our phone records on a daily basis. And we hope that that lawsuit is successful and will solve at least one of the problems without having to have, a protracted debate, during which this program continues to collect our sensitive information. But those are some of the first few steps.
Well, of course, the ACLU is set up to do just that, to defend civil liberties. Do you think the American people in general are too complacent about liberty?
I don't think the American public is complacent. I think it has just been misinformed and deny the information it needs to make its own assessment of whether these programs are lawful and necessary. And now that the information is becoming public, people are reacting. But it's difficult to blame the American public for not trying to reform that which it doesn't know. And that's a failure on the part of our government. Transparency is a truly necessary part of a democracy. You can't have a functioning government, at least one that represents the people, unless the people know what its government is up to. And of course, there are appropriate bounds for secrecy. There are certain things the government should be allowed to keep secret. But as a general matter, it should not be allowed to keep secret what it thinks the law means, what it thinks the law allows it to do, and its broad constitutional defense of these programs. Those need to be public so that Congress can have a debate with the American public, so that the American public can have a debate amongst itself, and so that it can vote for or against legislators it agrees or disagrees with on the merits of these surveillance programs.
Well, Alex Abdo, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. I hope that we can call on you again as events unfold.
Thanks so much for having me, and I hope so.
Alex Abdo is staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union National Security Project. He spoke to us from his office in Manhattan. Coming up next, a play opening tonight at Next Act Theater tackles issues of privacy, security, and whistleblowing. We'll talk with the director and a staff member of the Milwaukee chapter of the ACLU when Lake Effect returns after this short break.